Good evening. This is Johnny Coffee at Harmony Baptist Church. This is a Saturday night Bible study. As y'all know, we've been going through Proverbs, and I just want to make a quick little statement. I'm using the curriculum. One of the reasons that things are broke up is because I'm using the Sunday school. We started this as my Sunday school class because we couldn't meet because of the virus. But because of the way the teaching goes here on the internet, I've been changing things. So for my Sunday school class, just read the booklet because there's going to be things in that that's not in this lesson because I kind of changed direction based on the text. Okay. Tonight we're going to be in Proverbs 29:12-20. Tonight I'd like to talk about discipline. Now the idea, the lesson for our Sunday school was on authority, but we dealt with authority in Romans chapter 13, and I think I dealt with that pretty fairly. And I was reading this passage, and I thought that this idea about discipline is the key to this passage, I believe, and it leads to respecting authority. Obviously, discipline, but you're never going to respect authority if you don't learn to discipline yourself. So, discipline yourself. And the first part about discipline yourself is choose wise company. It says, if a ruler hearkened to lies, all of his servants are wicked. Now, this is not saying that the ruler is being deceived. It's saying that what it is it's saying the ruler, president, whoever, pastor of the church, whoever we're talking about here, is getting people who are agreeing with him. In other words, they're willing to lie to him and tell him what he wants to hear. That's what the idea here. And so choose wise company. If you want to be a wise, you need to discipline yourself with the people that you have around you, you know. Discipline, as a Christian, you have to make choices in your life. You can't just let the world come at you. You're an adult. As adults, we need to make decisions, okay? We need to make, if you want to be a godly man, godly woman, you have to make godly decisions for yourself. You cannot just haphazardly. You have to make decisions based on what you watch, what you listen to. I can't make those decisions for you. You're an adult. You have to make those decisions for yourself, okay? We have too many people who do not know their Bible. They're waiting for their pastor to tell them what's right and wrong. They're waiting for their Sunday school material to give them ideas on what's right and wrong. If you're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of God, you have to go to the source. You have to go to the Bible and let God tell you what's right and wrong. That's where everything, and you judge everything. So the first thing is choose wise company. The second thing you need to do to discipline yourself is discipline. Show everyone respect. Show respect to all. Look in Romans 2:11. In Romans 2:11. Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. God treats everyone the same. God treats everyone as equal. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, American, Puerto Rican. It doesn't matter if you're a Mexican. It doesn't matter if you're Jamaican. It doesn't matter your social class. We treat people different based on the color of their skin. A lot of times we treat people different because of the money. And I'm talking about Christians. I'm not talking about lost people. I'm talking about Christians. I mean, even now, a person with money can come to church, and we have a certain respect for them. They made that money, so they must be smarter than us, or they did this, or someone made wrong choices, so we think negatively of that person. We've all made wrong decisions. We're all sinners. But show respect to all. It doesn't mean you have to respect everyone. Have respect, the same kind of respect. I'm not going to have the same kind of respect for someone who doesn't care about people, who is abusive. I'm not going to have the same kind of respect as I would for somebody who's trying to live for the Lord. But we should treat everyone respect. You know what? Treating people with respect has to do with your character, not theirs. Okay? I've seen too many Christians, I know way too many Christians, that we judge people's spirituality based on what they look like, the clothes they wear. We're like, they're respectful of God's house because they wear a shirt and tie. I want to tell you something. Most of the people that do that, they just want someone to look at them at how nice they are. I know a lot of people that wear t-shirts to church, and they love the Lord, and they love God's house, and they would never disrespect it. But they just don't feel comfortable wearing other clothes, okay? Judging someone like that is judging according, you're using the flesh to judge. You're using the world standards. You're using Hollywood to judge people, and that's unscriptural. The second thing is discipline your children. Look in verse 15. Or no, 14. The second part of that is, or 13, the poor and the deceitful man, or the prosperous man. He's talking about the ruler. The ruler would be deceitful. Meet together. That's the show respect for all. In 14, the king that faithfully judges the poor, his throne shall be established forever. In other words, the leader that judges everyone the same, his leadership will last. A lot of churches, especially churches, we talk about the President of the United States, but I don't really want to deal with that today. A lot of churches, they lose leadership or they lose people because the leadership shows favoritism based on how much people give. If this person gives a lot to the church, gives a lot of money, a lot of money to missions, they get special treatment. They're treated as if they're more spiritual. And a lot of times, I know from experience, a lot of people, a lot of people give extra money so that they don't feel guilty, so they don't have to do anything at church. You know, I've seen people that just, oh, I'm giving, I'm the giver, so I just give money so I don't have to serve the Lord in the church. And so you can go both ways. You can go far one way and judge someone because they're not physically doing something, or you can go the other way and think that someone's not serving God because they give money. Do not show favoritism. The second thing is discipline your children, verses 15 through 18. Look in 15, it says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Use a paddle and not your hand or fist. I'm very hardcore about this. I think the Bible brings up specifically, if you have to discipline your kid, use a paddle. Use an appropriate paddle. Something that is age appropriate for your child. And the reason you want to do that is because a lot of kids, if you grow up and you use your hand, if you discipline with your hand, and then you get angry at the child and you swing your hand, your kid's going to flinch. Your kid's going to, your kid should know that we use this paddle to spank and we don't do it just haphazardly. I believe, my personal opinion based on this, scripture, is I think, first of all, you should wait until you're not angry. If the child does something wrong, you should wait until you're not angry. You should pray before you discipline. You should talk to your child while they're getting disciplined so that they know that you're not mad and just doing it to be mean. And you should pray with the child and make sure that they understand why they're getting it. And I think a good idea would be to have a chart that says, if you do this, this happens. If you do that, you get two spankings. If you don't make your bed, you get one spank or whatever. You come up with whatever chores you wanted your kid to do or whatever you told them to do, and you have a chart and you live by that chart. You don't deviate. You don't make excuses. You do what you're going to say you're going to do, and you do it. The reason most discipline doesn't work is because we make exceptions. We have a day where we come in and we're tired. Our kid's done something bad. And instead of doing what we were going to do, we don't want to mess with it. So we just send them to the room and then they get off. And then the kid thinks, well, they're not always going to follow those rules. So why should I? You know, why should I care? Because they may not do that. They might not get disciplined next time. But today, in today's age, I know a lot of people are wary about spanking and because they might get in trouble or whatever. I have PTSD, so therefore I did not spank my children. And I got a lot of criticism for that, but I'd still stand by that. I think if you're not, if you have something like that, you should put that, you should factor that in. You should do things that are appropriate. And so it wasn't appropriate for me to spank my children. But I think you should set up standards, you know, punishment, you know, like they don't get the Xbox for 2 weeks if they talk back or if they cuss you out or whatever it is your child does, if they don't wash the dishes or whatever. They don't get it for 2 weeks. And then if, don't wait until the day before they're supposed to get the Xbox back and give it to them early, because if you break those rules just a little bit, you get it, if they get it back the day, you said 2 weeks and it's on the chart, 2 weeks, no Xbox, if I don't wash the dishes, if you give it back to them the day before, you're going to set a standard that what you say doesn't mean anything. Okay, that's just the way they're going to interpret it. Okay, that's just what it is. So if you put these things into action, I think they will work. I think they will help, and it'll give you peace of mind that, you know, the kid knows what to expect. But make sure if you discipline, you always pray, and even if you're just grounding them, you pray with them, you talk to them, you make sure they understand what is going on. You don't leave that to chance. You make sure they understand what's happening, but use a paddle, not your hand, or some appropriate action. B is, children not disciplined create a wicked society. Look in verse 16. It says, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increaseth, but the righteous shall see their fall. Do you realize that if you take every person on this planet, every mom and dad, and they do not discipline their children, those children are going to grow up to be rebellious citizens. That's the reason we have riots. That's the reason ultimately we have those things, because of the sin nature. But the discipline and things, the rules we set up, those things help curb that sin nature. Okay? The penalties we have. If we do not discipline our children, we will create a future society where everyone lives in anarchy. That's exactly what's happening today. That's what's always happened. You have a group of people who grew up not taking responsibility for their actions. And when they became adults, they went from being spoiled children to being spoiled adults, thinking, I don't have to, you know, I have bipolar one and I have PTSD. So there's times where I don't think clearly. There are times where I get paranoid and I get scared and I act out. Guess what? My bipolar one and my PTSD may be a reason, partial reason why that happens, but it's not an excuse. If I act out inappropriately, if I yell at somebody, whatever, it's still sin. We need to quit making excuses and saying it's not sin because we have something wrong. We have stuff wrong, you know? If a person does something, just because you don't know why you're doing it doesn't mean it's not sin. It's still sin. If I get paranoid and freaked out and I punch somebody in the mouth and I break their jaw, I may be going through a hard thing. I may be not understand everything, but it's still a sin. I still have to take responsibility for that. So we improperly disciplined children will create a wicked world. See, proper discipline makes a happy home. Look in 17. 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Ye shall have delight in thy soul. If your children see a chart and they know that if this happens, if A happens, B is going to be the discipline. If that happens and they know, and you're always going to do what that chart says, and they don't have to worry. They don't have to think. They don't have to worry about, you know, dad's going to get drunk and smack me in the mouth because I looked at him wrong. Or mom's going to get mad and she's going to have, you know, a bad day and she's going to smack me in the mouth. If they know that you have these proper things set up, that they can look on a chart and say, that's what's going to happen if I disobey, it's going to bring them peace because they're not going to be living in anxiety, worried about if they make a mistake. They know that no matter what they do, mom and dad, if they get really mad where you broke a dish or something or you broke the TV, they know mom and dad are going to send me to my room and they're going to go hop, they're going to go in their room and they're going to pray until they calm down. And then when they calm down, they're going to come talk to me. So they're not going to be scared of you, okay? Because they're going to know that you're going to act biblically and do the right thing, okay? So that's going to bring peace to your home. D, the Bible teaches us proper discipline. Look at 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Now, the vision in the Old Testament, they didn't have the full revelation, so they had prophets. They got the word of God from prophets. The prophets saw visions and then shared. They saw the word. God spoke to them. They shared that to the people. And so this is basically saying that if you know the scriptures, you will know how to properly discipline your children, and you will properly know what to do that's right and wrong. You will know right and wrong, and you'll be able to share that with your children, and your children will grow up. Hopefully, your children will grow up to be Christians, get saved, and live a happy life, okay? Because you have told them and showed them from Scripture what God expects for them to be happy and holy. The last thing I want to share with you is making excuses for not disciplining. Look in 19. A servant will not be corrected by words, for though he understand, he will not answer. Seest thou that a man that is hasty in his words, there is more hope of a fool than him. The servant is the fool. Understand that the servant is the fool. All right? And he is a servant, and he knows what to do, and the master's told him to do something, maybe cook dinner or whatever, or set the table, or, and the servant's such a fool that he's like, I'm not going to do it. So the master has to discipline him, okay? It's saying here that the man who does not discipline himself, but makes excuses, runs his mouth why he doesn't have to be disciplined, there's more hope of for a fool than him. The Bible is very clear. If you do not discipline yourself, you will be miserable. Okay? You will be miserable. You know? It says, discipline. What's one of the fruits of the Spirit? The key fruits of the Spirit. And I've mentioned this over time. We talked about moderation last week, right? It's talking about self-control. We're still dealing with the same thing. Discipline is self-control. The key thing, and this is the thing that we have messed up in Christianity, I see it, one of the biggest things, and then one of the things that messed up my life and not realizing is one of the key things about being filled with the Holy Spirit is it brings self-control. You know, a lot of times we make excuses as to why we do things. Someone was mean to us. Somebody at church said something rude. They were judging us ungodly, you know, unbiblically. They smarted off to us, or somebody did this. Somebody lied to me. Somebody cheated on me, blah, blah, blah. And we do something unbiblical, okay? We don't have self-control. We get angry. We cuss them out, or we say something rude, or we get mad and we go to the liquor store and get drunk, or we hit something, we get fight with somebody. All of that is because we weren't filled with the Spirit and we weren't under self-control. We did not let the Holy Spirit give us self-control. Because if we got self-control, see, the thing is you find out how spiritual you are based on how you react to things when things are not going your way. You're not spiritual. Anybody can do the right thing when everything's right. When you're happy, when things are going your way, it's easy to act like a Christian. It's easy to, you know, put on a smile and God loves us and God wants to be, but you make everything wrong. You make your family misunderstand you. Your family judge you. Your friends don't get you. They don't come over and hang out anymore like they used to. You don't have a wife or a husband, whatever. Those moments and those times in your life when nothing is going your way, when you literally could do whatever you wanted to do. You could sit in your house and smoke crack if you wanted to, because no one would know, because nobody's even a part of your life. You have to exercise self-control. And the only way you can exercise self-control is if you're filled with the Spirit of God. And if you're filled with the Spirit of God and your son flips out, he's 18 years old and he wants to just, you know, do whatever, and he gets mad, you can handle that appropriately. If your four-year-old, you know, pees in the bed or whatever, and I don't even remember what four-year-olds do anymore. I'm so old. But, whatever happens in your life, you can handle it appropriately. It doesn't matter if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Your kid wakes up with a nightmare and he's just freaking out and screaming and whatever. You don't react negatively. You know why? Because you've spent the week with the Lord. You've woke up every day and you've prayed and read your Bible. You spent time with God. You didn't just do some cheap devotion, but you literally read the Bible and let the God of the universe speak to you. And you prayed until you were speaking to the God of the universe. And you weren't just going through the motions, but you literally met with God every day. And there's no way you can meet with God every day and not act like God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you're letting the Holy Spirit of God move in you, you're going to react. If you react negatively, that means you've been living negatively. Okay? All right? Because confrontation, just like Job, right? Remember Job? Job was living for God. He wasn't doing the things that he was doing to impress anybody. He was praying for his family. He was making sacrifices for his family because he loved the Lord and he loved his family. And when everything fell apart, guess what? Job still did what Job did. Because that's who Job was. Job was still the same person. He had to learn a lesson or two, but Job was still the same person. He still believed God. He still loved the Lord. He didn't let his wife talk him into anything negative that would have ruined his life. He kept the faith. So remember today, discipline yourself, discipline your children. And whatever you do, do not make excuses for not trying to discipline, okay? Because we need to quit making excuses in our Christian life, okay? Because we're not going to get anywhere. You know, when we meet Jesus Christ, we want to be able to say, we want to hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Well, we're never going to hear that come out of his lips if we don't understand and we don't practice self-discipline and self-control, okay? And remember, whatever I've taught on this lesson, everything I've taught from the scripture, you know, one thing that I've learned this year that's come home to me like nothing else is you cannot change other people. You can only change yourself. And the change in yourself, the Holy Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit change you, and the change that you have in your life will affect other people. Don't try to fix other people. Try to fix yourself, okay? And that's the one thing that I learned this year that was most important in my life, is to focus on me being the Christian that I want everyone else to be. Good night. Thank you.